Let's go to Ephesians 6. Let's start there. And then up on the screen, I have Job chapter 4, so you know we're going to end up being there. But I'm going to try to wrap up tonight. We've been studying devils in the Bible and trying to look at all the aspects and how they are. I was told, James, that is an ongoing study of mine for this year. I believe that there is an invasion coming, and it's an invasion. It's a global invasion. They're going to invade the entire world. And this army that is going to invade does not currently live here. But God is going to allow them to take over, and it's going to be a very evil, wicked army, and bullets and bombs will not be effective against them. And so that's kind of where my study is, and that's I spent this last week talking about things related to. I'm going to kind of digest in a certain area tonight what I talked about on Pastor Mike Online this week. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we come before you tonight and we pray, dear God, that you would open up our eyes and our hearts, Lord, our soul, that we receive with meekness the engrafted word tonight, and Lord, in true meekness, help us to understand our place, our role in your kingdom, and what you may have in store for us, but if not us, the next generation, but if not the next generation, then the generation after that. But Father, we know from the scriptures that an invasion is coming. And Father, whether it's in my lifetime or my children or my grandchildren's lifetime, help us, Father, to prepare for such a day. Lord, lift us up. Give us of your word. Keep us, Father, as the snow comes down. We pray, God, that you would send each one of us home safely. We thank you for our dear brother James and his wife. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless them. And Lord, we thank you for making lifelong friends and brothers and sisters of this man and his wife. I pray that you'd bless them. Bless your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Job chapter 4, if you'll turn quickly, I'll try to run through these scriptures very quickly and describe for you the army, the nation, the kingdom that is coming to this world. The question, the way that I was questioned earlier this week, I was questioned on something I said, I believe last Sunday night. Well, no, it wasn't last Sunday night. We weren't in church. The Sunday night before last. Regarding evil angels, and did God create them evil? And you can look at it one of two ways, but either way, God's always in charge. Either God made them absolutely perfect and they were holy and righteous in God's sight, and then they turned evil. Or when God created them, they were that way when he made them. We don't know how much time transpired from in, let's see, Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Ezekiel 28, till the day that iniquity was found in thee. We don't know from the moment that God created Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, the dragon, from the moment he created him to the time that he fell and showed up in the Garden of Eden to tempt Eve. We don't know how long a time frame that was. We know that the stars were created on day four. All the sea creatures created on day five, the birds of the air created on day five, man and all the other beasts created on day six. But we don't have a time frame in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. We don't know if it was weeks, months, years. We don't know anything about that. We just know that Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden for an unknown amount of time, And at some point in that time, Satan, because of his own glory and his own being, looking upon his own, his own perfection, his own beauty, that filled him with pride and he transgressed against God and he then becomes evil. We don't know how long that took, but my point is this. God knew it was going to go down that way. He knew it because he had already prepared the lamb for the sacrifice from the foundation of the world. That's what we know. So whether God created them instantly to be evil angels, right as soon as he said, boom, there's some evil angels, or he created them perfect, and in a matter of days, they all turn evil. Whatever, God created them for that purpose, for that reason, to show forth his power and to give us a choice. We know that he put two trees in the midst of the garden. We know that. We know that God gave Adam a choice by giving him a commandment. He gave him a choice to either choose life or to choose death. And God is the one who made the tree of knowledge of good and evil and made the fruit on it. So, the verse I read this week, Isaiah 45, I create darkness, I create light, I create good, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So God did it. And God does it to manifest his power and to give everybody a choice. And to me, it's not a hard choice. Believe God, you're saved. Don't believe God, you perish. Everlasting fire. So, Job chapter 4. Did God know that there were certain of his angels that he was going to charge with a crime? Job chapter 4, verse 17, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? And obviously the answer to this is no. We're not going to be more just than God. We're not going to be more pure than God. But sometimes men, humans, we get angry with God because he did something we don't understand. And we think God did something wrong. I've talked to people all my life, even as a teenager. I had a lady in this church whose husband died, and she told me, she said, I'm mad at God. Why did God take my husband? And I'm 16 years old going, I don't know why God killed your husband. But did God know about it? Absolutely. And she questioned God. Okay? And that hurt her faith. So, verse 18, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Angels who are higher than us, who can see God every day. Angels can see God every day, and yet he charged them with a crime. He charged them with folly. So not even angels are as perfect as Almighty God. So how much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. And he's talking about man. But he charged his angels with folly. And the question is, did God know that he was going to have to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. If he didn't, he's not a very good God. And I wouldn't, why would you trust a God who does not know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? I trust God who knows everything. And so when he created these angels, he knew it. He knew it. He already saw it. He sees all of the events of this world's history all at once. None of it is a mystery to him. So we have angels now that are evil. They committed something that God charged them with. The Bible says folly. I think I know what that is, but we're not going to get into that right now. That's not part of this. Psalm 78:49. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. The question is, did God create them evil, or did God create them perfect and righteous and holy and they became evil? And to me, what difference does it make? Because obviously God created them with that capacity to sin against God. He had to have. So, because, I'll go ahead and read John chapter, let me get my pen out. I like my little laser. Hope always comes up to me after church. Can I write on your tablet when we're done? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. How much things? All things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God made, or Jesus, the Word, God, made everything, period. Whether, and you know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but even if He created them perfect, He must have created them with the capacity to do wrong, knowing that that's what they were going to do, and it fulfilling God's plan. God is in control of every evil angel. And that's what this verse, by sending evil angels among them. In other words, there's evil angels. God knows where they are. They're in a bar somewhere, smoking and drinking. And God said, and they don't do anything. And then God says, hey, you evil angels, go over here and mess with these people. Go do it. And they went and did it. They did exactly what God wanted them to do, how He wanted them to. And does God even worry about the details of how? Absolutely. Because we know that when Ahab was being deceived, there were some angels that they presented different plans to God. One said this thing, another said this thing, and then this angel said, I can do it. God said, how? He said, I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all His prophets. God said, that's exactly how I want it done. So there was even plans that certain angels made that God rejected. That's not what I want. This angel comes up with it. And of course, did God know that one? Yeah. He's turning this evil angel loose. Judges 9:23. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. I submit to you that a lot of the conflicts that go on in this world, you're aware of this. Because his job is working with other military people in different countries to help them combat the same kind of evil that we combat. And I absolutely believe that there are spirits who cause people to fight. Look at that verse. God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. The men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. I mean, there's been times when people have been in an argument with each other and recognize, where's this coming from? This is not us. Where's this? This is a spirit. They recognize it. There's a spirit there that's causing them dissension, causing them sowing seeds of discord between people. Evil spirits do that. But by God's allowance, by God's plan, they do that. Some people got the idea that evil spirits act evil and God is powerless against them because they're so, I don't believe that, and I can't, I won't believe, that's, I won't believe it. It's ridiculous. Their God and my God is not, I don't see their gods the same as my God. I just think God's in charge of everything. You read the Bible, that's what you find out. 1 Samuel 16:14. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see, Saul rejected Samuel. Samuel's the Bible. Samuel is the Word of the Lord. Samuel is Saul's Bible. Saul is supposed to do what his Bible tells him to do, exactly the way his Bible tells him to do it. God, they say the devil's in the details. No, God is. God is in all the details. God is a very detailed God. Not just do it, but this is how I want you to do it. When I was in college, us college students, you know, we always talk about different things. We're experimenting with the world, experimenting with church. And, you know, the topic comes up, does it matter how we get people saved as long as we get them saved? I think it matters. I absolutely think how it works, because there's only one way for true salvation. It's the gospel, and there's only one gospel, only one. And methodologies, in some cases, corrupt that gospel. So I think it does matter. Did God care how Moses built that tabernacle? Down to the number of decorations on the candlestick. Did you see what I did about that? 60 there on the candlestick. The menorah in the tabernacle, you know, those almond buds and things like that. You know how many decorations there were on those 7 candlesticks? 66, exactly. The doodads went up on my back, and I've known that for a couple years. I saw them go up on yours. Okay? The light of God is the Word of God in the 66 book. God ordained the number of books in the tabernacle before the Catholic Church ever claimed they're the ones that put the Bible together. Anyway, but God took His Spirit away from Saul, which is something David asked God not to do to him in Psalm 51. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Who sent that? God did. 1 Samuel 18:10. Watch this now. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied. Now that is scary. That's more scary than that. I guarantee we're going to get 2 inches out of that. At least 2 inches of snow out of that. That dusting, they said. But anyway, Saul has an evil spirit in him, and he's prophesying. Can he be prophesying good if it's an evil spirit? What does that tell you about what is going on in some churches? And who did that? God did it. God, if God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And then in verse 12, he says, I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Look at that. Look at that. All their host have I commanded. The host are the angels. And not a one of them does anything but God says to do it. You read Job 1 and Job 2. There's your answer. Satan wanted to do it, but he had to get God's permission. And with God's permission came the barriers of what God was not going to allow Satan to do. God was in charge the whole time. And those of a charismatic or word faith persuasion will lead people to believe that God is, that once a devil starts working in somebody's life, that God is powerless against it, unless you release God to let him do something in your life. My God's not chained up. He's not tied up. He's not locked up. He's not in handcuffs. He is not prohibited. He does what pleases him and what honors him. Does God need to eat? God even said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need your food. You don't feed me. If I eat something, I eat something. It's my business. If I was hungry, I would not tell thee, God said. And so God is God. He is supreme. He is ruler. He is the most high. He does what he wants done. And if you've got devils attacking you, beating up on you, walking on you, trying to destroy you, I promise you, God knew about it. God knows about it. God is there prohibiting them from doing far worse than what they're doing now. God is doing that. And God's allowing it for his purpose and his glory. But he said, all their host have I commanded. The angels, the devils, don't do anything without God's commandment. And I would challenge anybody, and this is a friendly challenge, I'm not trying to be adversarial in any way. Maybe I don't know every verse in the Bible. Maybe I don't. So maybe you know a verse that looks like a devil does something without God's permission. I really would, and I would stand here publicly and say, I was wrong. My ego does not ride that high. Okay? To me, the Bible is everything, and I'm not. And so I don't have an ego when it comes to being right or wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll stand up here and say, somebody sent this verse and I like it. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to have changed my mind now about what I think. But God said, all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct all his ways, all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives. Not for price, no reward, saith the Lord of hosts. He's going to do what I tell him to do. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Did I read all that? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If it exists, it involves the will and the pleasure of God Almighty. See, the phrase Almighty means that he is all what? Mighty. Nothing is more mighty than Almighty. He has every power, every ability, everything is in his power. Everything is. I was thinking of some stupid thing that somebody came up. Can God create something that's strong enough to kill God? Okay, that's stupid. Why would he? Okay? I don't know. That's what some people do. All right. Now, let's get into this army. Here's the army. Hear this, ye old men. Give ye all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Now watch this. Tell ye, that's the first generation, your children, that's the second generation, and let your children tell their children, that's the third generation, and their children another generation, that's fourth generation. Four generations here. This number four pops up, and it's going to show you that this is a spiritual army. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. 1, 2, 3, 4. So as we just read, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Locust. We know, Revelation 9, they're locusts in the heart of the earth, in the pit. They're there right now, and they're going to be let out one of these days. So we know that there is an army. And think about locusts. I mean, they are an army. There's one locust doesn't just come through and wipe out a man's crops. An army of locusts does. And they all are together. They all act. When one of them flies left, all the whole thing flies left. There's even something in the Bible about how they're commanded. I can't remember what it is, but anyway, he says in verse 5, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, and all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." That new wine comes from the cluster, and that's the vine and the branches. The new wine is your Bible. The new wine is cut off from everybody's mouth. Preachers, the new wine's gone out of them. So now they have corrupted wine. They're drinking and offering from the vine of Sodom. There are churches in this area that we know. I mean, you follow a church on Facebook, you look at a church on Facebook, and you know some of the people that go there. And when you know some of the people that go there, you know that they're openly practicing sodomite in a sodomite relationship. And you see them in the church's Facebook pages working in areas and functions of the church. How does the church leadership not know that? And so they, by their silence, they are accepting it because they won't speak out against it. They won't say, look, you can't teach this Sunday school class. You can't do that. Why not? Because in our church document, every church ought to have one, in our church document, it spells out in no uncertain terms the qualifications. You do not meet those. And that would be a hard thing to do. I would hate to do it, but you have to do it. Whether it's going to, I don't know if we're going to end up in prison over it or not, but I'm just saying, when they drink from that vine of Sodom, that's the fruit that it manifests. And that's how you can tell. For a nation, here it is, a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number. Now, if God said that, remember, the angelic realm is innumerable. They are innumerable, and this army is without number. Well, how can that be? How can you not know how many there are in an army? This guy gave me a figure today. I asked him about something. He said, Pastor, you need to understand there's 23,000 people that work in the Pentagon. And I said, do you know them all by name? No. Okay. But I'm sure that there is a record in a computer somewhere in the Pentagon of how many paychecks they write every week. That's how many people work there. Okay? You could have a number. David got in trouble because he numbered his army. God told him not to do that, and he went and did it. How can you not know how many there are in this army? God even says it is without number. So that leads me to, that's a clue that tells me this is not a man army. Something bigger than that. Their teeth are the teeth of a lion. Do we believe our Bibles? Yes. They have the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. He hath laid my vine waste. Remember who the vine is. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He seeks to destroy. This army seeks to destroy the vine. Just like locusts seek to destroy crops, that's what they're for, that's what they do. And God made them. Did God not know what he was doing when he made locusts of the earth, that they would grow and build and become millions and eat everybody's crops up? Did God know that? Of course he did. Were they originally good locusts and then they turned bad? No. Okay. And then Joel chapter 2. I hope you can't read that on the screen. I hope you have to open your Bible. The day of darkness, the day of gloominess, the day of clouds and a thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There's not been ever the like. No army has ever been like this. That tells me this is different. This is not a man army. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them. Behind them a flame burneth. Land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've known people who live their life in such a way is that everything they're part of, they destroy. You know people like that? I didn't say you're good friends with them. You just know the kind of people I'm talking about. Everything they get involved with, they tend to tear down things that others build up, like relationships or whatever. This army does that. That's their purpose. As what looks like the Garden of Eden in front of them, by the time they get done, there's nothing. Watch videos on YouTube about this EF5 tornado went through Moore, Oklahoma, or Hurricane Katrina, or the tsunami that on March 11th went through the eastern coast of Japan. Before that wave came, were all these nice little tidy apartments and houses where people lived and worked, and in 30 minutes' time, all of that's gone. That's this army. Nothing shall escape them. So build your bunkers, because it's not going to work. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Is this Bible telling you right? Or is it just metaphors? Is this just symbolic language? Yes, it's telling you right. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people, God's calling them a people, set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall what can you? Who can stop a locust? Think of locust plague going through. Who can stop one of those? There's no way to stop them. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. How does the devil go? To and fro. They shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice. Now notice this, before his army. Who's in charge of this army? God is. He's the one that directed them and made them to do what they do. Right now, let's just say right now they're in the pit. And we know the nature of, well, every day Lisa has this dog, keeps it in a big pen during the day so the dog won't destroy our house. That dog knows when Lisa opens that cage door to come out, wait for her to hook the collar on, take her outside. She knows what to do out there. She comes back in. Lisa lets her go. She does her thing in the house. When Lisa says, come get in your cage, she's learned enough. She'll go over to the door, and if the door is pushed to, she'll take what she uses her paw, her head, and open that door up and go in that cage. Lisa shut the door. That's her. That's what she was taught. It's her nature. These devils that God made and he put in the pit, they're programmed to do a certain thing, and they're going to do it. All God has to do is let them out. And they're going to do what God has already written in them to do. There's a big debate among scientists. Are we and our actions and activities and our character the product of environment or genetics? Which is it? Is it our genetics that makes us, you know, the older I get, I see a lot of the characteristics of my dad in me things that my dad did with his hands that I'm doing now. Where did I get that from? Did I subconsciously, Freud would have a field day with this, did I subconsciously, am I trying to act out the presence of my dad because I miss him or whatever? Or because I share some of his genes, am I doing some of those things because I'm him in certain aspects? I don't know they know the answer, but what I'm telling you is this army is already programmed to do what they're going to do, and all God has to do is let them out, and they're going to do it. And it's God's army. He made them. He is strong that executeth his word for the day of the Lord. See, there it is right there. He executeth his word. We call the office of the president the what? What branch? Executive. Why? He is the one, when the bills make it through the House of Representatives and then the Senate, it goes to the president, he executes that bill by signing it. Once he signs it, that bill goes into effect either immediately or whenever it's dated, but it's not executed until he signs it. And that's his job, that's his role. And if he don't want the bill, he doesn't have to sign it. We have laws. The government doesn't have to be shut down, I don't think. I'm not going to get into all that, but that's his job. He executeth the words that are on the page, and that's God here. This army is God's, it belongs to him, and he's going to execute his word using this army. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to everybody online? Nod your head up and down. I see the camera going up and down. That's good. One more thing out of the book of Joel, then I'm going to get us out of here. Joel chapter 2, God calls them the northern army. That, to me, is very important. When God showed up in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel said they came out of the north. Now, I don't know what exactly all this means, but I can lay a case for the fact that there seems to be an entrance into this world at the north. Now, somebody tell me, Callie, Caleb, JR, and Michaela, if you want. What landmass lies at the North Pole? What landmass is up at the North Pole? Callie, Michaela, Caleb, or JR? Huh? You have an answer? He said Antarctica. What landmass lies at the North Pole? Callie says, hands? Michaela? Michaela goes, Caleb? Huh? Antarctica. You both are wrong. There is no landmass at the North Pole. North Pole. South Pole is Antarctica. The North Pole is the Arctic, say it, circle. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, the Arctic circle. But there's no land up there. There's no country up there, right? So look, that's the Northern Army. They don't come, there's not a land up there, there's not a country up there. I will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he has done great things. Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. Again, four things, 1, 2, 3, 4. My great army which I sent among you. God was in charge of it. Or and will be in charge. This is future. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. God, and I just hope and pray every day that it's in our lifetime that God is going to manifest his glory in this world. He's going to manifest his power by sending to this world an army that right now and at that time, they will, all the armies of the world will not know how to stand against this army. They will not know how to deal with them. That's part of a lot of what I'm studying right now. That's why I didn't do a watchman this week. I've been studying this. And there's going to be a future watchman coming out on all this stuff. But you're hearing it tonight because these are devils. This is part of an army that God himself is in charge of. And they're very evil. And God directs every one of them in what they're going to do. I believe God's sovereign. Okay? And there is nothing good or bad that escapes him. All right? Let's stand to our feet.